Well, good evening. It is a real privilege for me to be here tonight, and there are some things, Brother Ziegler, that I'd rather forget about from my years as a teenager especially, and there are people here who remember me from those years, and I'm hoping and praying you forgot about some of those things too, and thank God for His grace that makes us what we ought to be in spite of ourselves. And I am so thankful for His amazing grace in my own life, for His working and His power, and the operation of His Spirit that brings new life into a person's heart. I was telling Pastor Ziegler when I came in tonight, I could be wrong. My memory probably is beginning to fail. I turned 45 this week. I told someone I am firmly ensconced in middle age. There's no denying it anymore. 45 has to be middle age. As much as I want to deny that, I don't think I can anymore. So my memory may be failing, but I think the last time I was here, not here, over there, was as a teenager when perhaps Faith Mission Church came down to visit for a revival meeting or something. But it's been a long time since I've been here, and it's a real joy for me to be back. And in this capacity, to be able to preach to you tonight, I want to thank Brother Ziegler for the confidence he has in inviting me. And I trust that what is said tonight will be blessed of the Lord and will be an encouragement to each of us here this evening. Before I begin, I wanted to make a little notation at the beginning of my comments. Brother Ziegler was talking about the bus convention, and Brother Durkee talking about being faithful to plant seeds. And it brought to mind the service we had this morning in Bedford. We had one of those services where we began to sing, and then we began to testify, and God's Spirit began to settle down on our worship hour. And in a few moments, we were standing and singing the chorus, "He is here, hallelujah, He is here, amen." And the verse, the part of that verse or chorus that says, "Listen closely, hear Him calling out your name." And we were singing that, and people began to come to the altar. And this morning, there were two people who, to my knowledge, have never been in our church before. And they are obviously not of our stripe. They are of the world. They are sinners. But they came to the altar this morning, a husband and a wife, and they got saved. Now, the story to that is that years ago, Steve Stettler, when he was still at Bedford, talked to this man and had invited him to church. And the man had promised Steve years ago that he would come to church. Well, Steve and Beth have been gone for years, and that conversation had to have happened years before. But this morning, they showed up in church, and God showed up in church and brought them to an altar of prayer, and they both gave their hearts to the Lord. I tell you that to encourage you to keep planting. You never know. As you plant the seeds of the gospel, as you witness, as you pray, you never know when that seed is going to sprout into that harvest that you're praying for. So be faithful and keep planting that seed. We saw some of the fruit of that harvest this morning in church, and so I wanted to encourage you. Many of you know that my wife and family and I were missionaries in Mexico for a number of years, and we lived for several of those years in a city, a large city in Mexico called Saltillo. And I imagine that Saltillo had around 1 million people or so in it. It was a large city. And we lived on a very busy street in Saltillo. We were living at that time in a house that was right on the street. And we had no air conditioning. And in that dry, tropical climate, we had windows open and doors open at all hours of the day and sometimes of the night to get as much of a breeze into our little house as we could. And there were noises at all hours of the day and night right outside of our house on the street. Buses, huge buses with faulty exhaust systems or no exhaust systems, pounding their way up the hill right past our house, and motorcycles zooming by our window, and cars and bicycles and two-wheeled carts and police car sirens and taxis honking and mariachi bands playing and people shouting and vendors calling out their wares, dogs barking and children giggling and machines in storefront shops buzzing and clanking. And all of this was happening just mere feet from our front window. And I remember many times when we would have to either stop conversing in our own home because we couldn't hear each other over the noise, or we had to shout really loud when we were just a few feet from each other to be heard because of the noise, the volume of noise, and outside of maybe 2 or 3 hours in the wee hours of the morning, 2, 3, 4 o'clock, almost 24 hours a day, there was this noise. Well, we live in a noisy world, don't we? Technology brings noise with it. I bought a smartphone a few years ago, thought I needed one, and that phone has made more noises that I have not understood. It talks to me. It will beep at me. The other morning I woke up far earlier than what I intended to wake up for it to tell me that there was a flood watch in the area. We live on a hill. It would have made no difference to us at all. But it beeped this awful alarm to wake me up to tell me this. And it doesn't really matter what kind of technology you may or may not partake in, that it all makes a particular noise. CDs and iPods and MP3 players and video games and websites all make particular noises associated with their purpose. We live in a world of hair dryers and microwaves and refrigerators and generators and washers and dryers, and they all make noise. Buzzsaws and routers and nail guns make a particular sound. And even in a setting that fosters learning, such as a library, noise can still be heard. The rustle of pages turning, or someone slurping at the water fountain, or the tapping of keys on a laptop, or the scratching of paper, pen on paper. Even the whisper of the shushing librarian can be heard. We live in a noisy world. Creation's noise can be heard. We all are familiar with a rushing wind or a babbling brook or ocean waves pounding against the beach, rolling thunder, crackling fire. These are all noises with which we are familiar. We live in a noisy world. And to be sure, there are times in our lives when we cannot hear God for all the noises around us. There are competing noises that clamor for our attention. The noise of our friends, our coworkers, the noise of the busyness of life, the cares of life. Jesus said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." This phrase is found no less than 7 times in the book of the Revelation, chapters 2 and 3. Jesus speaks these words to the church. "He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church." In the gospel narratives, over and over again, Jesus issues this injunctive again and again. "He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear." But what does he want us to hear? What noise should we pay attention to? What sound should we listen for? And I am convinced tonight that here lies the issue of our entire spiritual existence. Because God is not wanting us to hear the noises that I've just mentioned to you, but He is wanting us, His desire for us is that we tune out all of the racket and tune in to one and only one frequency. And that is the frequency of truth. The frequency of truth won't arrest your attention with a catchy tune. You won't hear truth on the loudest channel or station amongst all of the chatter and static and frolicking music. There will be a still, small voice. But you must want to hear it. You must love that voice. And listen to me tonight. You must listen not to it, but for it. Listening for God. Listening for truth. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. A few years ago, when we first moved to our assignment in Mexico, for the first year that we were there, we were placed in South Texas, just a few miles from the Mexico border, to go to language school in Edinburg, Texas. And I will tell you that South Texas is basically northern Mexico with just a little better infrastructure. Everyone was Hispanic just about and spoke Spanish. And we were down there and didn't know anyone. It was unfamiliar. We were lonely. We had moved away from family and friends and everything that was familiar. We were making constant trips into Mexico and coming back to study. And we were just lonely. And I'll be honest, there were times when I was tired of hearing Spanish. And I was tired of trying to understand it and listen to it and speak it. And it was a struggle. And I just longed for something that was familiar, something that made sense to me. And I was driving along one night. I don't recall exactly where I was or what I was doing, but maybe 10 o'clock or so at night. And I remembered that there was a radio station in Cincinnati that I used to listen to when I was pastoring in that area. Excuse me. It was a talk radio station, and I would tune in from time to time to hear what the hosts were talking about. And I remember hearing the advertisement on this radio station for itself, and they would advertise that when their signal was at its strongest, they could reach 38 states and half of Canada. 700 WLW Cincinnati, 38 states and half of Canada. I was in South Texas, just a few miles from the Mexican border, and I thought to myself, I just wonder if I might be able to hear something familiar. I was familiar with the programming that was on that time of night. I was familiar with the voice. I knew what to listen for. I knew where to tune. And so I began to tune my radio in my car to 700. Now, those of you who, my kids don't listen hardly to the radio anymore. But those of us who know what it's like to try to tune in a far away signal, a radio station, you know all the noises that you have to go through, all of the strange sounds that you have to go through to get to that sweet spot where you can hear that signal. And so I remember tuning in. It wasn't 690, it wasn't 710, it was 700. And I was listening for a voice that I was familiar with. And I had been there many times before, and I tuned that channel so carefully, and finally, in a moment, I heard it. I heard that voice, and it was so familiar, and it was so great to hear English and to hear something that I was familiar with and that I knew. And I got so excited. I called the radio station and said, "Hey, I can hear you all the way down here in Mexico." "Okay, thanks for calling. We'll let them know." Oh, but to hear something familiar. You know, what was I doing? I wasn't listening to something. I was listening for something. I was carefully tuning my ear to catch a familiar voice. Samuel in the Bible heard a voice call his name. And he ran to Eli the priest, who said, I didn't call you. Go back. Go lie down. And again, the voice called Samuel. And again, he went to Eli the priest. And again, Eli the priest said, go lay down. And he came back a third time. And finally, what was happening to Samuel pierced through the foggy senses of a backslidden priest. And he said, the next time you hear that voice, you say, speak, Lord, for thy servant, what? Heareth. Samuel went back. God spoke to him again. And Samuel said, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Now let me ask you, had he heard the voice before? Yes, but this time he was listening for it. You understand the difference tonight, listening to something as opposed to listening for something. He was tuned in to hear God's voice. Jesus says, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. Christ did not say that his listeners did not have ears, but that it was possible to have ears and still not be able to hear truth correctly. It seems as though Christ is saying that we may have the ability to hear, but we may not have the ability to hear truth if we're not listening for it. Like children who don't want to pay attention to mom or dad when they say to stop playing and to come inside for supper, or come in to take a bath, or go to bed, or to do homework. These children practice what we parents call selective hearing. They ignore the voice of mom or dad or the authority figure in their life, and in acting this way, they make themselves deaf to a particular noise, to a particular person. I don't know if you've ever said to your children before, but I imagine that I've said something like this to my children at some point or another. Are you deaf? Can't you hear what I'm saying? I've been talking to you. I'm trying to get your attention, but they have decided to tune me out. They have ears. They function correctly. They listen to the music they want to listen to. They listen to the voice of their friends, but they have decided to tune out that voice of authority, because that voice may tell them things that they do not want to hear. Hard things, difficult things, truthful things. I remember when I was a teenager growing up, it was never easy for me to get up in the morning to go to school. Especially in the wintertime, it was dark outside when Dad would come in to wake me up. And it was cold. My bed was comfortable and warm. And after all, it was just school. And I remember Dad would come in early in the morning, those cold winter mornings, still dark outside, and I was slumbering in my comfortable bed, and he would say, Mark, it's time to get up, time to get ready for school. And I would respond something like this. And mercifully, Dad would walk down the hallway. And I would take advantage of that mercy, and I would burrow down a little deeper into the covers, and I would catch a few more moments of sleep. But he would eventually come back a second time, and he would say, Mark, I've told you once, it's time to get up. You got to get up. You're going to be late for school. Now, come on. But he would walk away again. And I would take advantage of that walking away to sleep a little bit more and to take advantage of the warm bed just a little bit longer until finally he would come in and his voice had a different sound to it. And he would say, Mark, I'm not going to tell you again. You get up now. Guess what? I got up. But what's sad is, I only got up when threatened with impending doom. That's when I decided it was time to get up. And I wonder tonight if Jesus is saying that we can do the same thing in the spiritual realm. Even though we hear the voice of God through reading His Word, We hear the voice of God through the pastor or through the evangelist or through the teacher or through mom and dad or in a song or whatever form the truth might be received. But we don't want to face the truth. We don't want to change our lives. We don't want to alter the way we are. So we have ears, but we don't hear. We're not listening for God. We're not listening for the truth. We only hear what we want to hear. You know, Paul talked about people in the last days with itching ears. And basically what he meant by that, what he means by that is that in the last days there will be people who only listen to people who say things that agree with their lifestyle. We are seeing that on a wholesale basis in our society today. As long as you scratch me where I itch, I'll listen to you. As long as you say what I agree with, that's fine, and I'll listen to what you have to say, and I'll call you to be the pastor, or I'll tune in to your show or station or whatever, so you can tell me what I want to hear. But how many know that truth isn't always pleasant to hear? Let me give you an example. When we were first married, it didn't happen much anymore. In fact, it really doesn't happen at all. But when we were first married, my wife and I, this would happen on occasion. And I need to tell you before I tell this story that I'm not responsible for what I do if I'm awakened in the middle of the night. I will get up in the morning sometimes and my wife will tell me what I did or what I said. Do you know what you did? Do you know what you said? I have no idea. I don't remember. I'm not responsible for things. My actions or words in the middle of the night. I could tell you some funny things, but some really scary things that I've done in the middle of the night and only gotten up the next morning and realized, oh, what have I done or said? Some comical things that aren't, I'm not going to tell you now. Maybe after the service, if you want to ask, I'll tell you. But it's hereditary, and I'm just not responsible for what I say or do. Sometimes when you wake me up, real quick in the middle of the night, which she would do on occasion, and it would go something like this: sound asleep, all is quiet, and she would go, Mark, or it seemed that way, and I would sit bolt upright in bed and my heart pounding. Boom, boom, boom. What? And she would say, I think I heard something. And I would groan and fall back on my pillow. And I would say to her something I heard everyone else say when I was growing up, and it made sense then. I don't even know what it means, but they would say, and I told her, I said, it's just the house settling. I don't even know what that means, but it made sense, you know, when I just the house settling. I don't, and I would say that it's just the house settling, and she would say, no, I think I heard something in the kitchen. And I knew I was not going to get any rest until I got up and went to the kitchen to figure out whatever this noise was. So I stumbled out of bed, go out of the room, and bounce off the walls of the hallway out to the kitchen to hear this noise. And about halfway down the hallway, I had a little nagging thought in the back of my mind, and it went like this: what if she did hear something? Because I'm in a mess of trouble. I'm in no shape to defend myself or anyone else at this point. Bouncing off the walls of the hallway. And I think it's okay to lie in the middle of the night. And I said, I've got a gun. And why do we always hold the air gun? You know, when we say that, I got a gun. Now I would, you know what I would do though? In all seriousness, I would stop. And I would listen. I wasn't listening to anything. I was listening for something. Now listen, I didn't want to hear anything. You know what I mean? I didn't want to hear anything, because if I heard something, that meant that I had a problem and I needed to take care of it. But on the other hand, I did want to hear it, because I would rather hear it when I'm awake. Amen? and be able to do something about it as opposed to being asleep and not hearing the things I need to hear to save myself or my family. So I would stand in the hallway and get quiet and listen for something. Now let me ask you tonight, as you prepare for revival, and to me, revival in large part is us taking time away from perhaps our normal schedule to listen for God. Let me ask you, is it possible that we can arrive to a point in our lives where we have heard so much truth, but we haven't been listening for God, we haven't been listening for the truth, and consequently we haven't applied the truth to our lives, and we become like those about whom Jesus spoke, saying, they see but they do not perceive, they hear but they do not hear or understand, so that they cannot be changed, they cannot be converted. Why? Because they have ears, but they're not listening for truth. They're not listening for God. I believe tonight I'm speaking to, if not 100%, 99% of you who have heard line upon line and precept upon precept and truth after truth after truth. The Bible says, to whom much is given, much shall be required. But is it not possible that we can sit in church service after church service and hear the truth, but not be listening for it, and there be gaping blind spots in our life because we've not been tuned into the frequency of truth? When the pastor speaks or the evangelist comes, we're hoping someone else is listening. We're hoping someone else is paying attention. When we read the Word of God, it enters our mind, but somehow it comes into our mind and goes out of our mind, and it's not for us and it's for someone else, or it passes into a filter that doesn't allow it to sink into our hearts and change us and make us different people, because while we have ears, we don't have ears to hear truth correctly. And that is why Jesus took time with the churches in the early ages in Revelation 2 and 3 to tell them, each church, where the problem was, what the issue was, and then he would say, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. I think by saying that, Jesus understood there would be some people he was speaking to who weren't going to hear him. Oh, they would hear his words, but they weren't listening for truth for them. And so, as we often say, it would go in one ear and out the other. But there would be others who had ears to hear, and their lives would be changed, because they would apply the truth to their lives. As you get ready for revival, Brother Mitchell comes to preach, and as your pastor preaches, even before that, perhaps it's time for us to say, okay, Lord, what do you have to say to me today through your word? What do you want to do in my own heart? What would you like for me to change? What would you like for me to surrender? What would you like for me to take on? How would you like me to be in every area of my life? Do you know that God is interested in the fine print of your life? You know, you buy a bag of potato chips and they look like a big old bag, you know, and you take it home and you open it up and a poof of air comes out and you look down and there's just about that much in the bottom of the... It's because you didn't read the fine print that said actually how much was in there. And you know what? There's a lot of people, most people, won't read the fine print in your life. They don't really care about that. That's the fine print. God wants you at the fine print level of your life, where no one else sees, in your thoughts, in your attitudes, in your reactions in the home, when no one else at church is around, but it's just you and your wife, you and your children, you and your coworkers perhaps. When no one else can see, that's where God wants you. And that's why during revival, it's good for us to say, okay, Lord, what do you want to say to me? My heart is open. I'm standing in the hallway, as it were, and I'm listening for you. Can I tell you something? I believe with all of my heart that if we will do that, we will hear God speak to us. He will speak to us. He will put truth into our lives. In fact, James chapter 1, which is the other part of this message that I'm not going to preach to you tonight, talks about the engrafted word or the implanted word. That means truth, word, the word or the word of truth doesn't come from within us. It is implanted into us because, he says, we receive it with meekness. That is, when God speaks to us through the word and through his spirit, we agree with what he says about our life. And he says to us, that's something I don't want in your life. And we say, yes, Lord, if you don't want that in my life, then I don't want that in my life. You know, that thought pattern, that's something that you need to change. Yes, Lord, I agree with that. What are you doing? You're meekly receiving the word of truth so it can be implanted and engrafted into your heart. And you become what? Not just a hearer of the word, but a doer. God, help us not to simply come and hear the truth, but may we be people who respond to the truth that we hear. And can I tell you something? I believe this with all of my heart. If you will do that, when revival starts, you'll have the kind of revival God wants you to have. You'll be further up the road spiritually. Victories will be won. People will be saved, entirely sanctified, maturing in their walk in Christ, as we listen for God. Let's stand together tonight. Bow our heads and close our eyes for a moment. I wonder if there might be someone here who would say in the closing moments of this service, Mark, God has spoken to me tonight, or he's been speaking to me over these last few days or weeks, and I want to just tell him tonight. I want to make a commitment that the things he's speaking to me about, I'm going to listen for him, and I'm going to respond to what he's talking to me about. I don't know you. Most of you I don't know. Some of you I know, but not well. But maybe there'd be someone here who would just raise your hand and say, yes, God's speaking to me, and I just want to go on record and say by my upraised hand, I'm going to listen for God, and I'm going to respond to what he's telling me. Anyone like that who would just raise your hand tonight and say, that's me. I'm going to do what he wants me to do. I'll pray for you. Maybe that'll be a good step, in the first step in the right direction as you seek God in revival. Anyone like that tonight? Yes. I want to listen for God. Yes, I see that hand. Thank you. Anyone else? I want to listen. Amen. Father, thank you for your truth that is so faithful to our hearts. Thank you that you speak to us clearly so that we don't have to be confused. And we don't have to wonder what your will is, but that you very openly and clearly communicate your truth to us. But Lord, on our end, sometimes self gets in the way and human hearing mixes truth with error. And maybe even a carnal heart will twist the truth to say what it wants it to say. And Lord, I pray tonight that you would purify your people. I pray tonight that you would help us as your people to hear truth correctly. Give us ears to hear. Lord, we don't have to ask you to speak. You are speaking, but we do need to ask you to give us ears to hear what you're saying. And so help us to do that. Help us to have those ears, those spiritual ears that will tune in to the frequency of truth. I pray, Father, that you would give Wisebaugh Church a great revival because you spoke and people listened and responded to your truth. We commit ourselves into your care tonight. We ask, Father, that you would go with us and continue to speak to us as we leave this place. We'll give you praise for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.